Yeah, God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood here of Rob Wood's Ministries. If you desire to go to my website, www.robrobw.com, and I want to get right into it. In the book of Acts, which to me is the book of action, it's where Jesus himself, after he was ascended, downloaded to men, regular men like you and me, regular women, and they would carry out acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power, doesn't say and with power, and with great power, the apostles, who? The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, great grace was upon them all. So the apostles endorsed the resurrection. They undergirded, they facilitated, and they said amen and amen to the resurrection. And as a result, mega grace, or the double annunciation of grace, grace, grace was upon them all. And that's how the church started to grow. When this season changed and there was great grace upon the church, the heavens opened, because the man never makes the season makes the man. Let me say that again. The man never makes the season makes the man. You've got to apprehend and know what season you're in. And when there's great grace or mega grace upon you, you cannot miss your visitation. Now, it also says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's a difference between power and great power. And what we have got to have great power, not for ourselves. You know, Jesus says, hey, don't be so thankful that, you know, the disciples came to Christ and says, we cast these devils out and we have this power. And he says, no, no, no. Don't rejoice that you've got great power. You've got power. Rejoice your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the power's for a reason. The great power's, it's exploits. Daniel, those that know their God shall be strong and do great and mighty exploits. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the apostolic, or the apostles, is the spirit of wisdom, which is application, and the spirit of revelation is the prophetic, or the prophets. So we have got to have wisdom, we've got to not know how to apply what God's given us, and then the prophets see what can be, they see the potential. But the apostles give legs, or they bring language to actually what's going on. Again, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 2:20, the church of Jesus Christ, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So I believe God is defining the fivefold ministry, the fist of God, the apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. And I believe in my own heart, I believe all Christians are ministers, but there's a different weight on the fivefold ministry. You see, you don't have to be an apostle to be apostolic. You don't have to be a pastor to be pastoral. You don't have to be an evangelist to be evangelistic. In other words, evangelists aren't just the ones that win the souls. The evangelists light the fires to Christians or the laborers to get them outside the four walls. Because once you leave those doors of your church, you've just entered the mission field. So let me go back to Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great grace was upon them all. Now, Ephesians 1:19, and what is that exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead? So the same power that the apostles had, that God gave to them, now God's giving to us. We've got that same resurrection power. That same power is now not only on the platform, but it's now on the people. And we've got to break down the dividing line between the platform and the people, because if the ministry or the fivefold ministry or the man in the pulpit could carry this whole thing out, we're already lost. If the enemy could get it to stop there, but once it gets on the people and then the passion of Christ gets on to do the great mighty exploits of Christ outside the four walls of the church. And let me just say this, as long as you have to have four walls to have church, you'll always have to have four walls. And, you know, church isn't something we go to on Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and then it's over. If that's the case, and that's church, you know, church is your light. You know, we are the church. In Genesis, Jacob had a revelation. The heavens open. There's a ladder. The angels are going up and down, ascending, descending. He says, how awesome is God in this place? So he had the revelation. God was in him, and he was afraid. And then it says, this is none other than the house of God, the gate to heaven. So he realized he became the church. Church is not something we go to. Church is something we are. We are the church. The church is not built of brick, mortar, stubble, but it's made up of living stones. So as we go, so does the church. And when you go to Starbucks, you have church. When you go to Walmart, Home Depot, your next door neighbor, the bus stop, wherever you are, the church is. You don't pray for revival, you become the revival. In the book of Luke, wherever Christ went, that's where the revival was. They ripped the roof off to get to this Jesus. They pushed him out in a boat because the crowds were so big that Jesus had to preach to in a boat. So, you know, in one story, the people were there before Jesus got to a town because they were speculating, because there was such a need, and they were pulling on the anointing, and they were pulling on the mantle in Christ. And this is the new thing God's doing in this hour. This is the new thing Jesus is facilitating. And let me just tell you about the new wine. We have got to have the new wineskin so when the new wine comes, we can contain and facilitate the new thing, because, you know, God doesn't want aborted revival. God wants sustained revival. There's been pockets of revival, but because there wasn't the new wineskin, so when the new wine was poured out, it would leak. And Jesus said, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old. The tear is made worse. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine spilled. The wineskins are ruined. Here's the key. But new wine, someone say new wine, which is figuratively speaking of the Holy Spirit, must be put into new wineskins. So God has made us to wineskins to contain the wine, or the measure of the Holy Spirit that he's poured out. We have got to learn how to facilitate and bring application to the thing God is pouring out in this hour. In the book of Isaiah 43:19, it says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? So the forerunners, the John the Baptist, they are the forerunners. They break open the new thing. You know, listen, let me just say this. Anybody can go to where the table's set. Anybody can go to where revival's already breaking out. But to go to where the ground is not broken up yet, and that's even actually more fun for someone like me because, you know, if the table's already set, there's really no challenge. You know, that's just what John's ministry was about. He prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. He brought the high places, the mountains, the obstacles down. Now, I believe God wanted a whole generation to go into the wilderness. But John's attitude, I love John's attitude. He said, whatever it takes, I'll wear camel's hair, I'll wear locusts, I'll do whatever it takes in this hour so revival can come. That's the ministry at large of the breaker. There's a breaker mantle. Gideon was a breaker. Samson was a breaker. Deborah in the book of Judges is an example of a woman that was a breaker. Joshua was a breaker. Moses was a breaker. John was a breaker. Of course, Jesus was the greatest breaker that ever walked in the face of this earth. Wherever he went through, he was able to break open. Now, there was different measures that he was able to break open in, because it says a prophet's not welcome in his own hometown. There was so much familiarity. They said, this is Jesus the carpenter. You know, he banged his hand with a hammer when he put a new roof on our hut in Jerusalem. He can't not possibly be the savior of the world. So, you know, he could do no mighty works there. It doesn't say no mighty works, not many mighty works. So where there's dishonor, there's always a detraction of the anointing. Now, the new thing God's doing in this hour, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, and how that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries. It said, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So there are mysteries that God has concealed, but now in the end times, the latter times, he is now revealing them. They were concealed, but now they are revealed. And he's revealing them to his apostles and his prophets, because these are the two offices in the Bible that the church is built upon, of course, with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, being the chief cornerstone. So we've got our honor, the apostolic, the prophetic. And I believe that the enemy has tried to formulate a war between the pastors, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, because he knows if he can get the fivefold ministry in unison to work together. I mean, that's the key. We're not going to get anything done till we learn how to work together and honor each other in each other's office. That's the key. We've got to honor the evangelist. If you're not an evangelist, you're a pastor, you've got to honor a teacher. You've got to honor the different gifts. And that may not necessarily be the gift you function in or your primary gift, but I've seen pastors that were also evangelistic, and they had a burden for souls. And I've seen evangelists that also had a pastoral anointing where they also love people. So we can wear many hats, but you've got to find the lane or the gifting God's given to you. And in the book of Corinthians, it talks about how the Spirit gives different gifts willingly, or he distributes them because he knows, the Father knows best. That wasn't just a TV show many years ago. The Father knows best. The Father knows what gift or what function, the place, because in the book of Acts, it talks about the fire of God was poured out at Pentecost, and the flame or the fire sat on each one of them. So there's a flame with your name. You've got to steward your own flame over your life. You've got to keep your own lamps trimmed and burning. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So I believe God is releasing mysteries out of heaven. It says, rend the heavens. Another translation says, tear them apart. And I believe there are mysteries that the same way they download from a computer, God is downloading from heaven, where the angels go up to heaven, they ascend, and they come down at Revelation. They descend from the ladder of God. You know, Led Zeppelin didn't write Stairway to Heaven. You know, they may have wrote the song, but there is truly a stairway to heaven, and that's the experience Jacob had. And again, the passion of my heart as an evangelistic prophetic vessel that I believe God set me apart for is to see the church get outside the four walls and not only have church, but to become the church. The enemy never will mind you getting 200, 300, 400, 500, 800, but if you take the region, if you start transforming culture, I believe that's what the church is called ultimately to do, to possess, to take the mountains, educational mountain, the political mountain, financial mountain, entertaining mountain, all the different mountains of God, and I believe it's the greatest days for the Church of Jesus Christ. God bless you, Evangelist Rob Wood, signing out. I love you, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ.